Sweden Rolls, once again, welcome back, dear listeners. This week we have something very special in store for you. You know how we're always talking and nagging you about Patreon? Well, we thought we might give you a little glimpse of what's available at patreon.com/swedenrolls and give you two of our prequels that have up till now been available only for our patrons. Sweden Rolls, once again, welcome dear listeners, me and Jacob are here, and we're going to do a prequel, our first ever prequel.
Wow, it's going to be awesome. Fun.
That's going to be so much fun. Sorry.
What are you doing? Are you choking?
Yeah, I'm basically choking from excitement because it's going to be so awesome to do these prequels. It's going to be a way of for us to go really, really, really into the depth of the characters with their background stories. And
oh, we're going back in time.
Yeah, we're going back in time, baby. It's a prequel.
Yeah, it's going to be so much fun.
And sometimes it's going to be filled with action, and sometimes it's going to be very dialogue heavy, very, very emotional, maybe even. I don't know. But it's going to be, we're going to try out some different takes on the prequels.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And we're going to learn a lot of stuff about the characters, I guess.
Oh, for sure, for sure. It's gonna be awesome. And we were doing it with the Forbidden Lands characters. Maybe we should say that as well. We don't know if we will do it with other characters in the future, but for now we're doing it with the Forbidden Lands characters only, because that's our big main campaign.
Just Odwyr, right now.
Right now, yeah. I thought you meant we're just doing these with Odvir every time. No, screw Alira and Marina.
Yeah,
and
why,
we don't
why
need,
we
to
don't
know
need
them.
Them.
Just Odvir.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, are you ready for your solo adventure?
I am.
It's in the early hours of the evening, a spring evening in the Forbidden Lands. The blood mist still lays over the land. Heavy are the minds of the inhabitants due to this blood mist that makes it impossible for anyone to travel, except the bravest and the feared Rust Brothers. Odvir lives in an Islander village, and you're working as a, what's it called? Like a kitchen hand?
Yeah, I guess you could call it a kitchen hand. I'm doing all the stuff, like waiting tables and dishing the dishes and running around helping with cooking. Also, I'm spending some time in the kitchen together with the chef.
Yeah. And the inn is called the Flying Fish, right? That was it?
Yeah.
The Flying Fish. And the innkeeper, his name is Berak.
Yes.
Berak, the innkeeper. What's he like?
Well, Berak, he's a big guy, and I'm not saying that just because I'm quite small and slim, but he's a big man and really strong but very kind, and he's the owner of this inn, and he has dark hair, quite long hair, and he has this skin, this leather apron that is really worn and he's
always greasy.
Well, a bit. I mean, he's not dirty. He's a clean guy. Okay. and he's mm-hmm. quite kind actually, and tells stories all the time, and he seems to like to have me in the kitchen because he's teaching me to cook the popular menu at this inn. And of course he's also he's telling me to do all the stuff because he wants me to get to know the best way of doing the line of work that he's been in for such a long time.
Yeah, he's teaching you the trade, and he doesn't want you to slack off or to do something wrong, you know.
No, and I don't think that I try to get away. I try to do my best at all times.
Yeah, so when he reprimands you, Audrey is smart enough to see that for being like constructive criticism, and just a way of Berak teaching you the trade.
Yeah, I try to stay open and open-minded and to learn as much as I can. And also because of, I mean, it's a small village, and he knows my dad, and I don't want to upset my father.
Mm. Yeah. And Oddvar is 16 years old now. He's standing in the kitchen, and he knows that his shift will soon be over. He's doing some dishes. And what are his thoughts? What's he thinking about? What are his dreams as he stands there doing this very monotonous task of dishing up making the dishes?
Well, he has heard about other places, and he's thinking about how it would be to get out in the world, and if this blood mist wasn't there. He wants to see the world. He wants to experience more than just this village. He's always have this interest for plants and herbs, and also the small creatures of the world who live in the ground.
Oh, you mean the insects? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
Special interest for the insects.
They are really, really interesting. And sometimes he dreams of, I mean, being in a big society, like with ants or wasps or something like that. They are really intelligent creatures. They seem to have this way of communicating, and they really care for each other. They have this... big societies, and they are the bees. They are coming in, and they are like dancing to show where the flowers are, and all those kind of stuff. And it seems so interesting.
Yeah, but they also look so tasty, so delicious.
Yeah, it's all. I mean, not the bees, maybe, but but there are. Other insects, aren't they?
There are bit... snails, and there are...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so he wants to get out into the world so he can experience the cuisine of foreign insects.
I mean, of course, he's dreaming about other stuff as well. I mean, meeting people and... Also to be able to change, to be somebody else, not only animals, but to be other persons. And he's dreaming away.
Yeah. And as his mind wanders over the plains and hills and mountains of the Ravenland, Berak comes in and looks at you and bangs a pot on the table like.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah.
Daydreaming again there, Oddvar.
yeah, a bit.
Well, as long as the work gets done, you know, and no harm in that.
Of course, you know, I'm trying my best.
I know you are, lad. I know that. I know. You're a good lad. You'll do just fine.
Thank you, Beric. I have so much...
And that sauce you made yesterday, that was delicious. Have I told you that?
Did you like it?
Yeah, I really liked the rosemary. It was really piece de resistance.
it's not a French chef, and he's like...
Sorry.
He's cooking snails and it's escargot.
Yeah, that's why Audrey took a job there.
Yeah.
No. But the sauce was really I really liked it. Good job, lad. Yeah. Good, and he comes over to you and claps you on the shoulder.
The tastes, they are like you have the salt. And you have the bitterness. They are opposite pairs, right? Have I got that right?
Yes, of course. Yes.
Yes. And sweetness and sourness is the other opposite pair. So if something is too sweet, you should put more like lemon or something that is sour. And if something too salt, then you need to have something bitter, chocolate or coffee or something like that. Mm. And if it's too...
That's true, lad. That's true.
And if it's too much watered, you need something to make it put together.
Lad, you've done enough work for tonight. I'll finish up in here. You just go on home to your dad.
You don't think that I talk too much? Do you?
Oh, no. He scratched his beard. Oh, no. You're a good lad. Good lad. Now, I'll see you in the morning.
Yeah, see you tomorrow. Thank you so much for the chat.
Glad to be here for you. And you go out onto the street, and of course the street is not a very big street. It's not a very big village. It's a fishing village on the south bank of Anger Bay. It's on the northern shore of the Margelda Plain, and it's not a very big village, so it's not a long way home. It's not a long walk home, but you have a sense that Beric let you go home a bit earlier than usual. So you take a stroll around the village and look at the fishers bringing the nets and emptying the nets and preparing the fish with a... Like whatever you do when you, I don't know, I'm not a fisherman, I don't know, but whatever you do when you like prepare the fish, when you bring it in, that's what they are doing right now. And as you're walking there, you hear a voice from behind you. Hi, Oddvar. Good evening.
Good evening.
And you instantly recognize the voice belonging to Delana. And she's been something of a... I'd like to say like high school sweetheart, but there are no high schools here. So like a youthful love interest of yours.
I have a crush
for
on
a
her.
While. You have a little crush on her.
Okay.
Yeah. And she's been, she's not been toying with you, but she hasn't been very clear on her intentions and her feelings. Sometimes she's been like fondly, stroking your hair or touching your back or something like that when she passes, and sometimes she's shown no interest in you at all whatsoever, so you have no idea if she's interested or not.
Okay. Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
No, I'm fine. I just finished off my work.
For a stroll?
Yes. Where are you heading?
Oh, I'm just sitting here watching the fishermen come in. it soothes me to see them bringing food to our village.
Yeah. Makes you wonder how it is in other places, don't you? Do you wonder? Well, do you want to go?
No, I'm not one of those dreamers who dream themselves away to foreign lands and adventure and going to seeking up ruins and trying to find treasures. That's not the life for me.
No, it's a bit silly, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it? And then she looks at you with this knowing smile, and she gets a little twinkle in her eyes, you know, like, yeah, so you finished early tonight, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I was told that I could leave a little bit early today, because I don't know really why, but I guess he wanted to be
I'm glad you're out and about so I can have a chat with you finally.
Yeah,
it's without so many people around. Come, have a walk with me.
Okay, sure.
And she goes away, like, westwards along the shore, and you follow.
Yeah. I'm following.
Yeah, she doesn't even look back. She hears your feet, like, running along the pebbles. So she hears that you are catching up. What if there are no longer any fish in the sea? What if the fish just runs out?
What do you mean? Why should it run out?
Well, we go out every day and we bring many fish in. What if?
Yeah, but it's a big lake. It's they are animals. I mean, we can take up, and they breed.
But what if we catch more than they are, than more than they can breed?
Well, then we have to stop for a while, so that they.
How would we know that? How would we know that until we caught the last fish?
I'm sure that the fishermen would start to know that the nets isn't full,
and then what? And then what? If they notice that, oh, we have to stop fishing for a while, what would we eat then, when, if they don't bring in any fish? That's the kind of questions I occupy my mind with.
Okay. What do you mean?
I don't dream of going away to foreign lands and to fight the Rust Brothers or seek treasure and adventure. I worry that someday we will no longer be here. We will starve to death, or we will be attacked by Rust Brothers and the village laid waste.
You shouldn't think so negative thoughts. I mean, we will always be here, and we will find food. I mean, there's a lot of food around you. It's a lot of herbs. It's a lot of vegetables. There are other animals we could hunt. And there are even, I mean, you know, there's honey, and there's a lot of stuff we can eat. You shouldn't worry about so much such things.
She doesn't say anything. She just looks at you while you're speaking.
Well,
biting her lower lip.
Oddwear swallows, and he kind of sees that she's looking at him, and feeling that he is supposed to do something, but he just keeps on talking, I think. Yes, and there are a lot of insects, and I mean, you probably could. I mean, not that I would, but I mean, probably.
Ew! Are you saying we should eat insects?
No.
Ew!
Well,
she starts backing away from you, well, and like
they can be quite. I mean, you could eat them. That they are not dangerous
Ew.
To you.
Ew! Are you kidding me?
No.
And she turns her head, and her long black braids they almost clatter together as she spins her head very fast, and she starts walking towards the village.
Hey, I'm not saying that I'm eating insects. I'm just telling you that we could if we would being in need, if we would starve, we would eat them, wouldn't you?
Oddvir, don't talk to me again. Please?
Why? Wait.
And then she turns and she goes.
Where are you going? Oh.
And Audrey stands there alone by the shore.
Yeah.
He picks up a pebble, throws it into the sea, mutters a few words under his breath, and then he starts walking home.
Yeah, before I do that, I throw some stones as far as I can into the water to relieve some of the anger and some of the disappointment and some of the anger is towards himself for being stupid enough to talk with her about insects and eating in the same in the same phrase.
Yeah, but home is a secure place. He can always be himself at home.
Yeah.
And he knows his father, Bogvar, will be there.
Yeah.
His mother died in childbirth, right?
Yes, she did, so he doesn't know anything about her. I mean, of course, his father told him. Told Oddvir about her being kind and being very, actually very good at, also with vegetables and herbs and making things out of herbs, like healers stuff.
Yeah. And. Yeah, so you come home and your father's there and he has just finished eating dinner because he normally eats at home and you eat at the inn.
Yeah.
So he's just putting away some wooden bowls and, you know, knife and fork and stuff like that.
Hi, Dad.
Well, Oddvir, good to see you. You're home early.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to leave a little bit earlier today. Innkeeper says hi.
Yeah, well, tell him I'll come by tomorrow with a basket of good trout.
Yeah, that would make Berak happy.
Yeah, so the fishing has been going well lately. I sense a change in the air.
A change? Why?
Yes, it's things are looking up, aren't they, Oddvir? You're growing into a man I'm so proud of you.
Dad, stop it.
I wish your mother could have seen you. It's
don't start cry again, Dad.
No, I'm not crying. I just got something in my eye.
You always say that.
Yeah, she was a fine woman, she was. Oh, well, but whilst he's speaking of fine women, have you seen Delana lately?
Well, yeah, I...
She was here asking about you earlier today, you know?
Was she?
Yeah, she was.
I think she's angry at me now. I don't understand anything about her. I mean, sometimes she seems so, so kind and so, you know, she looks at me and she's laughing about the jokes I make, and sometimes she's just so, she just turns away.
Hmm. For no reason at all?
Yeah.
That's strange.
Hmm. Yeah.
Hmm. So, I'm thinking maybe today you and I should open that cask of brandy over there.
Okay.
Do you want? I mean, I think you, you're becoming a man. You'll have to start shaving soon.
You think so?
Those hair on your chin, they look long and thick and strong. So I think you'll need to start shave soon. It's time we had our first drink together.
Okay, Dad, do you want me to get it for you?
Yeah, and bring my pipe as well, won't you?
Yes. And go and get those things.
Yeah, and he brings a stick from the fireplace, a long stick which keeps on burning. So by the time you come out to the on the porch where he sits, and you bring his pipe, he starts lighting the pipe from the stick from the fire. So pour us a glass each. Be a good lad.
Yeah, and Oddweir tries to start to fill up the glass like it would be water.
Yeah. Oh, there, boy. You sure you can handle that much drink, lad?
I don't think it's any problem, Dad. I've seen people drink before, you know. And
yes, but have you had it?
No, I haven't tried, but I mean, if I'm going to try, I might as well try it, right?
Cheers, lad.
Cheers, Dad.
You're a good boy. Yes, your mother will be proud. She will be proud indeed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, very strong.
Well, it is brandy after all.
It's good. Strong. Dad, can you tell me about my mother? How was she?
I've told you about your mother before, haven't I?
Yeah, I guess so, but I think I was so small then, so it would be nice to, you know. Could you tell me a bit about her? What did she like to do?
Well, she loved to be out in the nature. She loved to collect herbs and she liked to.
What did she do with them?
Well, she prepared them and then she used them for healing and things like that. She made salves and ointments and sometimes she brewed them into teas and she was very skilled at all of that, and all of the village praised her for it.
How did you two meet?
Well, your mother, she obviously for some reason had her eye on me right from the start. So as soon as we were old enough, she came over to our house and she told my parents that she and I would be married. Yes, that she said. And who was I to? I mean, she was a fine young woman. She... Her smile, lad. It would melt your heart. Completely. And her eyes. Yeah.
And she, did you say that she was playing an instrument? Was she, like, good at singing and playing?
Yes, she was a good singer, and she liked to play the flute. She often made reed flutes from the reeds out in the sea.
Well, I wish I could have listened to her.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so strange because all the stories that you have told me about her, and it kind of. It's like I feel in one way that I somehow know her, but even though we haven't even met since she died when I was born,
yes, she was a splendid woman. I'm not sure if. And he looks at you, and you see that he has trouble forming a sentence, and he doesn't really know what to say. And then he just turns silent, and he looks you in the eye deeply. And he puts his hand on your shoulder, and... Ah, lad, I suppose you're old enough. You're almost a man. Well... I'll tell you this, my son. Tomorrow morning, we'll talk some more about your mother. As for now, I think this drink is just about what I can take for now. And, yes, let's talk in the morning.
What do you mean? Do you have more? Do you have any news about her?
There's so much to say about your mother. She was such a fine young woman, and it's really... Fine woman she was.
Yeah.
Fine woman.
Okay, Dad.
But we'll talk more about this in the morning.
Yes. Of course.
And he goes to bed, and you stay up and you finish your glass. It takes you a bit longer than you thought because it's quite strong, and you're not at all used to this. You're used to the smell of it, but when the taste gets in your mouth and your palate starts detecting all of these tastes, and then it burns your throat, and it's really not pleasant. You don't like it at all, but you feel like you poured this for yourself, for your dad, for this moment, and you need to finish it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the world is kind of spinning, and I'm starting to feel a little bit sick. But... Yeah, I'm trying to finish it, and
then you wake up the following morning with a slight headache, and you look out the window, and it's a fine spring breeze coming in from Anger Bay, and you're a bit surprised that your father isn't up yet because he's always up before you.
Yeah.
And you go to his room to check on him, and he's still in bed.
Okay. Dad, are you coming or what? I made some breakfast. One or two eggs.
Complete silence.
Dad?
Come to think of it, your dad's a big snorer. You don't hear any snoring. And you try to listen even more closely, and you don't hear any breathing either.
I go up to him. Dad? Dad, how are you? I'm starting to shake him.
Just no reaction.
No, Dad, wake up! Wake up, what are you doing? Dad, don't do this.
And I mean, you have been helping the healer in the village a bit. as an apprentice. But in such a small village, there isn't much use of... I mean, the healer herself doesn't have all that much to do. So, I mean, even to have an apprentice, it's not much work for you. But you're good enough to know. I mean, you check the pulse and there's nothing there.
Dad, you were supposed to tell me something. You shouldn't die on me now. Why are you... I tried to... I realized that he's dead because he's kind of cold and stiff. I mean, not stiff, but the skin doesn't feel...
Yeah, rigor mortis has kicked in.
Yeah. And, he was... I'm kind of... I guess I'm just sitting there and crying, and I tried to hug him, and... and I wanted him to... I wanted to be with him when he went, and I didn't think that he was going to die now. Said, I want to have a look at him. I rise up to see how he looks. And
he looks peaceful. It looks like he's died in his sleep, just from what is difficult to say, but I mean, you sniff his mouth and stuff like that, and there's no smell of anything weird that shouldn't be there, you know.
No, it's so it's just a
natural death in his sleep.
Yeah. But he was so... I mean, I don't know how to cope when he's gone. I don't know what to do. I'm alone. I start to think about who I could go and talk to about it. And
yeah, and the whole village, I mean, when this becomes known... The whole village comes together and they support you and they help you bury your father and they help you cope with the period of mourning. And you, I guess, Oddvir, what would he do to cope with the sorrow? Does he like plunge himself into work, or does he seek solitude, or what does he do?
I don't think that he's seeking solitude. I think that he wants to have the company of others, but I guess he doesn't talk so much about his father, because I mean that doesn't seem like he needs that. I mean, he has his memories of his father, and he knows that they have that they had a good evening together and a last evening, and that his way to go was peaceful. So he doesn't talk so much about his dad or his mom, but he tries to stay in the company of others.
Yeah, and he continues working on the flying fish.
Yeah,
and he Beric keeps teaching him the tricks of the trade. Delana seems to somehow go from a very central figure in his life to being in the peripheral part of his life, and about a year or two after this, the blood mist lifts and the inn really, really takes off because there's a lot of people coming to the village all of a sudden. And the innkeeper, Berak, really needs Odvir's help here. And he works there for some time. And then some other stuff happens, which we might explore in another prequel. But this is as far as we go with this bonus episode for our dear patrons.
Okay. Hey, you tricked me into crying.
Throwing you a curveball, pal. Sorry.
Yeah. Killed my dad.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I wasn't prepared to... but I got really emotional, you know?
Yeah.
Wasn't really...
Tried to build something up which I could pull away from you.
Yeah. You did.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this, or because this doesn't go out to our to the podcast. This is
no,
just
it's just
for
patrons.
This is just for the patrons, for you guys who love us the most, and therefore you are the guys we love the most.
Yeah, we love you so much.
Yeah, it's gonna be so awesome to give you these prequels and to hear what you think of them, and we really so much appreciate the support you give us. It gives us this extra boost to keep us going, and we really, really appreciate it. And please tell your friends all about us. And
it's also really, I mean, it's so fun to have a listener base that really that likes us a lot and that comes in with questions and stuff like that. That feels awesome. So, I mean, it means the world to us what you guys are doing. Really,
yeah. Your involvement on social media and by email and all that it's amazing, and it's so much fun. And we hope we will also be able to start with the monthly Q&A from the GM. I think we need to organize that a bit differently so all patrons can send in Q&A questions, because we've only had it on higher tiers, which has led us to not get so many questions for the Q&A. But maybe if we do it a bit differently, we'll get some more questions and we can give you even more content for you guys, because that's what we want to do. Well, I guess that's about it, Jacob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun, man.
Yeah, we'll see Odvir yet another time in yet another prequel, and we will also see Odvir very soon when we continue with Forbidden Lands Season 3, Bitter Reach.
It's coming up.
Yeah, it's coming up very soon, and I'm writing some official soundtrack for it, y'all.
Yeah.
So I got some good insights from Magnus Sæther, who's writing the Bitter Reach. Great guy. Meeting him in a few days to discuss my plans for Season 3. So that will be awesome. And thank you again for listening, dear patrons. We love you all so, so much. And keep in touch when Sweden rolls once again.